wonder if I'm becoming jaded or whether or not I'm simply not sensitive enough to these kind of things. Big fuss over Madonna and her concert in Rome over the weekend. It was on a Sunday, of all things, not too far from the Vatican, where Madonna had a big concert there in that city. And of course, it was an event, as it is everywhere Madonna goes. In the course of her concert performance, she did what she has done on her entire Confessions tour. She held the mock crucifixion, wore a crown of thorns, and kind of posed in front of a mirrored cross. I've seen the video. Maybe you've seen it, too. Now, maybe I'm just become insensitive to this kind of stuff. There was a hubbub, and there was people talking about it. And I'm thinking to myself, and please tell me if I'm wrong, you know, next year she's going to be doing something else. And we will have forgotten about this. And is it a mockery of the cross, perhaps? She says it isn't, but, I mean, many people do believe it is. I just have a hard time getting my blood pressure up over it. But that's not true for a lot of people. First hour or so of Issues Etc. here, well, at least the first 40 minutes of Issues Etc. today, is audio open lines. We're going to get the latest on Madonna's concert in Rome and the reaction to it. Connected to that, Bill O'Reilly picked up on a related story. The band Everclear, I believe, their lead singer is a little conversation, little debate with Bill O'Reilly on the O'Reilly Factor over disrespecting Jesus. They have a video out. They call it a breakup video. A video out where a character wearing a crown of thorns with marks of the nails in his hands goes about his daily activities, which include kind of drinking on public streets, playing dice, doing his morning workout, lifting a cross up over his head. And a lot of people are upset about that one, too. We'll also hear a Fox News segment on the cross controversy. There's a memorial being planned for the victims of Katrina. They want to put up a cross, and some civil rights attorneys say, no, 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 not so fast. It's audio open lines for the first 40 minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We also have a studio email address. You can just email us right here in the studio. We'll get it, your questions and comments, via the email issuesetc@kfuo.org. Coming up in about 40 minutes, Pastor Henry Gehrke joins us to talk about the role of the musician in church, the church musician. He's director of the Concordia Seminary Chorus. He'll round off our first hour. In the second hour, classical Christian worship. Pastor Bill Swirla joins us for that hour. He made a presentation at the Higher Things Youth Conference recently called A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Liturgy. We'll spend the second hour with him. And then in the third hour, the first part with Star Mead, author of Training Hearts, Teaching Minds, we're going to talk about children's church. Should Sunday morning be segregated by age? And then in the last half hour of the program, I think we got a little more audio open lines. We've got an NPR piece about Christians in Lebanon, what they're suffering as Israel continues its military activities there, and an NBC Nightly News story about Faith Night at baseball parks. Faith Night. Christians show up in droves for these things. And one wonders whether or not this is merely a marketing ploy on the part of baseball, big and small, to just get the crowds come out to the park and watch a little baseball. And then the CBS Early Show report. There's a new report on the relationship between music that teenagers are listening to and the sexual activities that teenagers are engaging in. That's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Again, our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's audio open lines. We'll play the audio, get your reaction and your thoughts. First up, Madonna held a concert on Sunday in Rome, miles from the Vatican. She invited the Pope to come. And during her concert, this is her Confessions tour, I believe, she did what she always does during this concert tour. At one point during one of her songs, she stands Christ-like with a crown of thorns on her head in front of a mirrored cross. Here's some of the fallout from that performance.
Madonna has managed to do what seemed impossible: unite Catholics, Muslims, and Jews. Leaders of those faiths in Italy all condemned her concert in Rome. Not for moves like this, but for this image, Madonna crucified on the cross.
It's a lack of respect for all Christians.
As she has in earlier stops on her Confessions tour, Madonna strapped herself to a cross during a performance of the song Live to Tell, wearing a crown of thorns. But it was the geography that the church found most offensive this time. Last night's concert held in a stadium in the shadow of the Vatican. One Vatican official, a cardinal, labeled it a blasphemous publicity stunt and an open act of hostility toward the church. A local priest accused Madonna of toying with a sacred symbol.
For we believers, we Christians, the cross represents the meaning of all meanings. That is the most absolute, profound value of the love of God.
The head of Italy's Muslim World League likewise called the mock crucifixion an act of bad taste. And a spokesman for Rome's Jewish community expressed solidarity with the Vatican, calling Madonna's performance disrespectful. The controversy didn't stop tens of thousands of fans from crowding Olympic Stadium. Many said Madonna was just expressing her artistic freedom.
No, I don't think it's a sign of no respect for the Christian church, but I think it's just a symbolic vision of life.
Madonna's publicist told CNN the singer's mock crucifixion, which is accompanied by a video montage of children in Africa, is meant to dramatize the plight of children suffering around the world. She added, Madonna has said, I don't think Jesus would be mad at me. This is not the first time Madonna has offended religious leaders. Her 1989 video for the song Like a Prayer, which showed her caressing a black Jesus, earned similar condemnation. 17 years later, the Catholic Church says, it's the same old song. Brooke Anderson, CNN, New York.
All right, there's a story from CNN. Okay, Madonna is doing what Madonna does. I remember, and perhaps this dates me, but I remember Madonna when she was kind of chubby blonde rolling around wearing lots of lace. And she, the big thing when she first started doing this in her videos was she was wearing a crucifix.
Material girl.
Yeah, she was the material girl at the time. And she would do this. She would wear a crucifix and then prominently displayed earrings, whatever. And of course, at the time, people were upset about that. This just seems to be more of the same when it comes to Madonna. She has made, Madonna is the quintessential celebrity. She is. She has made a career of remaking herself. I want to hear from you. What do you think about Madonna's mock crucifixion during her Roman concert? Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. You can also respond via the email issues etc at kfuo.org. We're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 9th of August. So if you're remaking yourself, but you're trying to maintain a theme like Madonna is, and you're trying to, you have an audience who has expectations, not only that you're going to continue to perform and grow as a musician, you've got an audience that expects a little shock value if that's what you've always delivered. You're going to find new and different ways of delivering the shock with maximum impact. Is that all there is to it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, along the same lines, here's a segment from the O'Reilly Factor titled Disrespecting Jesus.
Thanks for staying with us. And Bill O'Reilly in a personal story segment tonight. Jesus portrayed by two music figures. Madonna has been criticized by the Vatican for her mock crucifixion on stage during her concerts. Papacy believes it is insulting to Jesus and a desecration. Madonna apparently doesn't care what the Vatican thinks. Also, the American rock band Everclear has released a video on the net that is designed to offend at least some followers of Jesus. Here's a brief sample.
Okay, in part of this video, the guy is lifting the cross. He's kind of bench-pressing the cross. He's got a crown of thorns. He's got nail prints in his hands. And he's out generally making mayhem in his life.
When you tell me what is wrong with me.
All right. Joining us now from Portland, Oregon, is the frontman for Everclear, Art Alexakis. In this video, Jesus is portrayed as having an orgy, meeting strippers, knocking out an old lady, stealing her necklace, stealing from a homeless man, drinking, driving at the same time. What's the point?
He was drinking holy water.
Well, whatever. What's the point?
Yeah. Actually, brother, to be honest with you, that's not Jesus.
Okay, he's got a crown
your assumption
of thorns
that it's
on and...
Bill, it's not Jesus. That's a representation of my idea. First of all, this is a breakup song, right? This is a song I went through a divorce a couple of years ago. The whole record's dealing with that breakup. So this is a breakup song that I wanted to show a different face of, hey, everybody who goes through a breakup goes through a place where you're sad, where you're feeling lonesome, when you're feeling hate. Well, this is the part when you're feeling hate. But what we wanted to show with this video is a different face of hate. We could have went political, or we could have went religious.
Okay. Since why are you wearing the crown of thorns here?
Well, no, I'm not wearing the crown of thorns.
Well, whoever the lead guy is that we're watching right now, I thought it was you.
Who, Chris, the
actor? He looks like you, yeah. You guys look alike. You got to stop hanging around together. Why is he wearing a crown of thorns?
I wish I looked that good. Listen, he's wearing a crown of thorns because he's a representation of what Jesus could be if he had made the wrong choice.
I see. Jesus, is that clear someplace in the video that you're making it clear to the people who are watching that this is a Jesus who made the wrong choices?
Well, if you have to spell it out for people, it's not really artwork, is it?
Well,
it becomes a textbook.
I spell it out, and I think I'm an artist out here every night. I don't want anybody misinterpreting or sort of saying I'm a blasphemer, as many people have done on this.
Hold on a second.
I'm not in your world,
I just got to ask you these dumb questions. You're not in my world, but if you're going to say it, back it up.
I will.
Many people, wait a minute, hold on. Look at the people who are saying they like it and don't like it. 85% like it. Look at any website, okay? That's the numbers you got to get across.
But that's your crew. That's your crew. I mean,
no, brother, that's not my numbers. Those are people that don't even like Everclear.
That's your crew watching this thing. What is the video features a heathen version of Jesus dubbed Hater Jesus. Okay.
Heathen? So, where did you get heathen?
Well, this is the description of it. And the video is dedicated to Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson.
That is true. You finally said something honest and
I'm
true.
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this. A little confused.
Let's get to the bottom of it.
All right. So now you're incorporating Falwell and Robertson into a video that features a guy dressed up, or at least with a crown of thorns, that's making the wrong decisions in life. Can you link that up and explain that to me?
Sure, I'd love to. Let me make an assumption here. You grew up Roman Catholic?
Yes.
Okay. I grew up with a single mom who was a born-again Christian, hardcore, 1970s. All right, so I got sent to these churches. I had this stuff indoctrinated into me. My mother, God rest her soul, she died in February from cancer. Her whole life, after her youngest son became successful and started taking care of her and supporting her, would take the money that I gave her and send it to these people. These people who claim to be men of God, who claim to be empowered by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wouldn't have anything to do with these people.
But you're judging them and you don't know them. You never met them.
That is my judge. I'm going by what they say. You're judging me by what I say.
I'm not judging you at all. I'm asking you questions about this thing.
No.
You don't know Robertson and you don't know Falwell. And by the way, I've been critical of both men on this broadcast, but I would never judge them.
No, I'm judging what they say and what they do. I'm not judging them as people. I'm sure they're very nice people.
I don't know about that. You seem to be putting them in a position.
You don't think Pat Robertson's a nice person?
No, I don't know whether you're not judging them. You seem to be judging them and putting a pejorative on what they do. And that's what you just said, that they misuse the money that your mother sent them and that they're not.
Well, not just my mom.
Well, then you're judging
millions of moms.
All right, your opinion, and you're entitled to it. Now, when people. So you believe that this song has no relation to Jesus, the deity that millions of Americans believe in. It has no relationship to him at all.
I'm not saying it has no relationship. I'm using icons. We're using icons. I didn't write this video. Charles Jensen did, a really intelligent writer and director. But I loved where he went with it, so I stand by it 100%.
Right.
We made this, hold on, we made this for a tenth of what we make videos on the streets of Portland. If this was some big, as I've seen some people on the right call it, some big publicity stunt, I think we would have spent more money than most of you people spend on your suits.
I don't know exactly what that means, but I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, yeah, you do. I appreciate you coming on.
All right.
All right, that's the O'Reilly factor. Are Christians being too sensitive about this? I mean, O'Reilly's going to talk about it as a cultural issue. I want to know what you think as well, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The video is, it's so far over the top. Now, first you got to picture this in your mind. It's not Jesus with the beard and the robes. It's a guy in kind of a leisure suit who doesn't look anything like you would expect Jesus to look, but he's wearing a crown of thorns. And at the very beginning of the video, you see that he has nail prints in his hands. And when he gets up out of bed, there's kind of a flash of light, like a resurrection kind of a thing. And it goes all over the place, and it's like most videos are. It makes very little sense. I guess there's a story behind it someplace. How should Christians react to something like this? I mean, Everclear makes a video that many Christians believe is an open mocking of Jesus Christ. Madonna gets up on a mirrored cross in Rome during her concert tour in a mock crucifixion. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, most people are reacting to the fact that this is a mockery of Jesus Christ, and I can't fault O'Reilly for taking that direction, but I want to take a different take on this. Did you hear what the lead singer of Everclear had to say about what was behind the ideas for this video and why he included Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson in the video? He said he was raised by a mother who was a hardcore born-again Christian, who, now that she's supported by her wealthy son, sends all her money to Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and people like him. And I don't think he would deny that he resents that. But think about how this guy was raised, in the home in which he was raised, and what it has produced. You know, Marilyn Manson said that one of the biggest deciding factors in his career choice and the direction he's gone, Marilyn Manson, of course, this kind of, what do they call them? It's not even heavy metal rockers. What do they call Marilyn Manson besides a shock rocker? Come on, Craig, you're the young one here.
A freak.
A freak? Your mic got to be up. There you go.
I don't know. Is that Thrasher metal or
Thrasher? Lance is younger than you are, but Lance isn't listening, and Lance doesn't pay any attention
But Thrasher metal
Marilyn
would be closer to them.
All right. So you got Marilyn Manson, who has images of death and decay and all that kind of stuff in his music, and he says he wouldn't be what he is today if he hadn't been raised in a fundamentalist, dispensational kind of end times scare Christianity. And he says, I'm just reflecting what I was taught as a kid. Yeah, they say goth. Yeah. Goth-esque. So, to me, that's the most intriguing thing of this story. I think it goes for Madonna, too. Madonna, by her own account, raised in and around a very strict Roman Catholic upbringing. Now, you could say it's teenage rebellion taken into your 40s, and I'm sure that has something to do with it, too. But there are images, The religious images that are being incorporated into their art, their music, their performance, they will tell you, are largely due to how they were raised. It's audio open lines, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. John's up first calling from his car. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Very well.
In regards to the cross, I mean, I think it would be better for nobody to say nothing about it rather than bring more attention to it in regards to what Madonna and Everclear is doing. In my opinion, I never saw the either video, but my opinion of what Everclear did with this sounds more like an antichrist than a Christ. But my opinion on the cross is I see many people wearing it. I guess that's their display of Christianity, trying to tell the world they're a Christian. But if Christ was put to the guillotine, would they be wearing a guillotine around their neck? If he was shot by firing squad, would they be wearing a firing squad, a gun around their neck? I believe when Christ said, pick up your cross and follow me, he meant do good day by day although even though it would be easier sometimes to do evil, because sometimes that's the easy way out, but you know, it's hard to love your enemy, but that's what we're to do, and that's our way of bearing a cross, to keep a loving heart, walk in love, and that's a very hard thing to do.
All right, John, thank you for the call. Well, I don't think anyone's saying the cross is anything more than a symbol. The cross is a symbol. It is what it symbolizes, what it represents, that is at the very heart of the Christian faith. It is not that, Christians who wear the cross somehow glorifying the means by which Jesus died. But that Jesus died for us at the cross. So the means of his execution, in that sense, is irrelevant. But that this is the real historical way that God has redeemed mankind is what Christians are confessing and professing in the cross, and why they hold the cross like, well, say, the American flag. It's a piece of cloth. Come on. I mean, I can get blue, red, white cloth and cut out some stars, and it doesn't mean anything. I mean, there's a historical significance to it, I guess, but come on. No, the cross is significant because of what it signifies. Chuck calls from St. Louis. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Todd. As I was listening to that, to the examples that you had, especially to the interview, it struck me that perhaps what music video is nowadays is simply an attempt at a short style and form of contemporary opera, dealing with. And he said the young man who was being interviewed. Said we could have gone political, we could have gone religious. What opera does is tends to deal with the themes of human existence, the great stories and myths, popular stories, current stories that try to examine human existence. And a lot of music video does that kind of thing, even though it's misguided, probably is highly personal rather than being more universal in its scope. He said, just for instance, that he was trying to deal with anger. And there are whole operas that deal with that kind of thing, with the fact that you have, for instance, no choice as to what the course of your life is going to take, or that your choices have really messed you up kind of thing. So you have the opposites there that kind of coincide. And when you're doing that kind of thing, and I don't know is that these people actually understand that may be the case, but what they're really doing is modern opera. When you're doing that kind of thing, you have to explore all kinds of avenues, and some of them are successful and some of them are not.
Well, what is your bottom line for, let's grant your premise with only 10 seconds here, Chuck. What's your bottom line on whether it's Madonna up on a mirrored cross or the guy in the video, the Everclear video, pretending to be Jesus kind of on a rampage?
Personally, I think it's stupid, but that's because of they've misappropriated the symbols.
All right, we'll talk more about that on the other side. It's Audio Open Line. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Many Christians understand the theological impact of 16th century Christian reformer Martin Luther. Fewer understand Luther's lasting impact on the world of politics and of thought. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is an overview of Luther's life, thought, and work. It's called Luther's World of Thought. You can find this book at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right on the homepage. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and find out more about Luther's World of Thought, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. This hardback book is $29.99 plus shipping and handling. Our website address again, issuesetc.org. And the number for Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Should a pharmacist be able to make the choice not to sell the morning after pill?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A pharmacy in Olympia, Washington is doing what thousands of other pharmacies across the nation have done and, as a result, is coming under fire from abortion advocates. The owners of Ralph's Thriftway decided not to stock the morning after pill because it can sometimes cause an abortion. Pro-abortion advocates are planning to boycott the store, and the state's governor is threatening to oust members of the state's pharmacy board that approved the conscience clause for pharmacists. Apparently, freedom of choice only goes so far in Washington state.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. For more about our work to mobilize and advance pro-life women in politics, visit our website at sba-list.org. That's sba-list.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Thousands and thousands of young people are getting ready to go off to college. Our daughter Katie competed in cross country and track in college, just as she had in high school. She was a very good runner, so good that her trophies and ribbons have created a family storage problem. There were some races she didn't win, when she was bitterly disappointed, and as long as I live, I'll never forget giving her a hug after those losses, but saying nothing, just giving her a hug. We all need hope. The early baby boomers were born after World War II, when America was confident we could do anything, even go to the moon if we wanted. Today's young people have been born into a less confident America. Will Social Security be there for them? Can they graduate from college and get a job they've trained for? Hope cannot be taken for granted, for young and old people as well. Is there a fundamental hope underlying all our other hopes? A hope that gives us a hug after a race? A hope that assures you there is life after a disappointment? A hope that restores you when your present world has crashed? Psalm 42:11 identifies that basic underlying hope. Put your hope in God, for I will yet again praise Him, my Savior and my God.
Are you considering what to do with the rest of your life because you just have a job instead of a career? Are you wondering how you can get ahead in today's job market? The Educational Opportunity Centers can assist you in learning more about your interests and strengths in planning your career goals and educational objectives. Contact EOC today for more information on post-secondary education and how that education can help you to find a better job with better pay and a better future.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. We've got audio open lines for about the next 5 or 10 minutes of the program. We're coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 9th of, not Tuesday, it's Wednesday. Boy, am I glad it's Wednesday and not Tuesday. If it were Tuesday, I would actually be moving backward in time, and I'd have a bigger problem than it just being Wednesday. Live this Wednesday, August the 9th, our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We've thrown two topics on the table with a few audio bites. The first one has to do with Madonna's Rome concert on Sunday, where, as she has throughout her entire concert tour, the thing that makes this notable is she did it within miles of the Vatican. She had a mock crucifixion. Now, don't picture big wooden cross and Madonna with fake blood. That's not what she did. In fact, if you didn't know, I mean, I've seen the video several times, if you didn't know and notice that she was standing in kind of a cruciform position and that the mirrors behind her were in the shape of the cross, you might miss the fact that she is wearing a crown of thorns and mocking the crucifixion. Now, is she mocking the crucifixion, that is, making fun of it, or is she using it to some as a symbol for something else? I think she argues that she's using it as a symbol to call attention to world poverty because she has a video playing behind her of starving children in Africa. The other piece we heard was a little conversation between Bill O'Reilly and the lead singer of the group Everclear. They have a video out that has the main character, again, a Christ kind of figure wearing a crown of thorns, nail prints in his hands, going on what could only be called kind of a crime spree throughout the course of his day. So my question for you is, how offended are you when you see these images or when you hear about them when they make the news? One of our callers a few minutes ago said, look, Christians should just pay no attention. Chuck said, look, this is art, and we need to fault these people for misappropriating the images that they're using. You know, even art should pay its dues to the symbols that they appropriate. Even art should. But so we could say that Madonna and Everclear are misappropriating the symbols of Jesus Christ and the cross. Do you think that Christians are too sensitive about this? I mean, think about this question. If Christians can't handle this, or South Park depicting Jesus as having his own cable access call-in program, or Jesus appearing on The Simpsons, or Jesus appearing on Family Guy, any place else? Oh, there's all you got to do is turn on the Comedy Channel and you'll get Jesus appearing just about everywhere. If they can't handle this, will they be able to handle real mockery, real persecution? Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Steve writes this. Which is worse, Madonna or those who distort the gospel in their preaching and teaching? Then he answers his own question. Those whose preaching and teaching take away from the gospel are held to a higher level of judgment. We as Christians are more willing to put up with bad teaching and preaching than acts by Madonna. And he's absolutely right. Thank you very much, Steve. You know, Christians that walk, Christians that, okay, here's an irony for you. Christians who don't think the cross belongs in their church because it might scare away seekers will condemn Madonna for having one in her concert. Maybe they'll condemn it because she's scaring away seekers. I'm not sure. Diane writes this, Jeff and Todd, it is mockery, or is it persecution? We are all dead in our trespasses and sin. Praise God for his mercy. Let the judgment begin with the house of God. Whether persecution or hypocrisy, Jesus just kept on proclaiming the message. Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe it is what we should do. Or Christians who go to church on Sunday morning and don't even bat an eye when the pastor gets done with the 40-minute sermon with zero cross content. If it were a bag of chips, you could look at the ingredients or look at the nutritional information, and under crucifixion or Christ and him crucified, you would find 0 grams, 0% of your USDA requirements of Jesus Christ and him crucified, if the sermon were a bag of chips. Christians that can sit through a sermon like that, a Christless, cross-less sermon, walk out a Sunday morning saying, boy, was that edifying, and then turn around and get upset because the cross that they so easily what their preacher so easily overlooks, is being misappropriated by rock stars and sex symbols. Now, that's the story. Of course, you won't ever hear them talking about that on the O'Reilly Factor. Our Issues, Etc., a book of the month for August, is called Luther's World of Thought. Luther says the cross is our theology. It's not just our symbol, misappropriated or otherwise. It's our theology. It's the center of the Christian faith, which is why Luther would have insisted that Christ and him crucified be the center of Christian preaching. I don't know what he would have thought about Madonna or Everclear. Luther's World of Thought is the name of the book. It's $29.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for the book of the month called Luther's World of Thought, 1-800-325-3040. Ann's calling from Crestwood. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I didn't think about this at the beginning of your comments, but you know, when they're mocking, and when they're cussing, they're not mocking Buddha or Mohammed or Mahatma Gandhi or any other god. And so by mocking, although it's horrible and a sin, I'm sure, they're acknowledging him, aren't they?
Well, yes. I mean, I guess they're showing... You're onto something, Anne. Thank you very much. Perhaps Christians ought to look at it this way. Why don't they mock Buddha? Why don't they mock Allah? Why don't they mock Muhammad? Why don't they mock any other Joseph Smith? You know, why doesn't Madonna do a Joseph Smith segment and I don't know, go through the motions of finding gold tablets under a mirrored rock or something? Why? For it to have its shock value, for it to have its impact, it has to play upon a truth. Not just what people perceive to be true, but it has to, you know, for it to be rebellion, there has to be an authority. And so, yes, I think you're right, Anne. In a backhanded way, an unintended way, they are acknowledging the truth of the very thing that they mock. Now, notice Christians aren't starting riots in the streets like Muslims did in Europe in the aftermath of the Muhammad cartoon. And maybe what is more important than whether or not Madonna should be mocking a crucifixion in her concert is how the world sees Christians reacting to it.
All Praise to Thee, For Thou, O King Divine, by Mark Bender for SAB Choir, Congregation, Two Trumpets, Timpani, and Organ.
For the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc., we're going to be talking about the role of the church musician. It seems as though big church, little church, every church has one. Music, we've talked about music in the life of the church recently on Issues Etc. What about those who make and perform and serve us with music in God's house? Pastor Henry Gehrke is our guest. He's director of the Concordia Seminary Chorus. He's cantor at Reformation Lutheran Church in Afton. And he will be one of the presenters at a two-day event this weekend for musicians, for pastors and teachers, titled Now the Preparation, Then the Proclamation. Pastor Gehrke, welcome back.
Thank you.
Henry, what is the hardest thing about being a church musician?
Well, I would say there are many different answers. It's not multiple choice, but I would think that time is one of the toughest things. Time for research, for recruitment, for planning, for practice. Just finding the time for researching the Word of God and looking at it in preparation for the coming Sundays, and then in short-range planning, and then in long-range planning also for the whole church year.
How important is it that a church musician work closely with the pastor of the congregation in all of the preparation that you have just mentioned?
Well, it would be helpful at least in that no conflicting messages are being sent. A lot of churches will focus their worship on one theme that may be running through at least one of the scripture readings that are given on a Sunday, and in which the pastor may be preaching on, and so that everything gears towards that. Others will take more of a wider approach and say at least focus on all of the readings that are given on in Sunday. And so the pastor and the church musician need to at least be on the same page and in an agreement so that there will not be conflicting presentations, you know, maybe choosing a hymn that kind of focuses on something just the opposite of what has been preached on or something like that.
So, in a nutshell, what is the role of the church musician?
Well, the church musician is to present music that proclaims the gospel and proclaims God's word, and then also gives voice to the people's response to that word of God. And that will probably focus primarily in the hymnody that is chosen, but occasionally and oftentimes through the music that is sung by the choir when the congregation isn't singing.
Not being a musician myself, Henry, I think what most people probably think about when they think about the church musician are the technical aspects of it. You know, if, whether it's playing the organ or other instruments or directing a chorus or a group of instrumentalists or choir or something along those lines. They think about the technical aspects of it, not primarily about the theological aspects of it. Talk about those latter aspects.
Well, yes. You know, obviously there has to be the technical ability, the ability to play the hymns, to have correct notes, and to play music that supports the congregational song and the hymns. But the theological aspect is just as important. Right now I'm reading a biography of Johann Sebastian Bach, and I've always known this, but it's just been reinforced for me again that how the theological background and the study of God's Word and of the Lutheran confessions and so forth was always very much the heart and core of Bach's writing of his church music and of his performance and directing of church music in the church. So the theological aspect is very important because it gives us the basis for the insight into the music that is being sung, as well as it gives a chance to minister to the choir members, to the instrumentalists, not only asking for their technical ability, but also strengthening their faith, helping them see the insights into God's Word so that they, when they sing, they at least will have a way of trying to communicate those same kind of insights into God's Word to the people of God.
So what is most lacking now in church music and in the way the church is supplied with church musicians?
Well, again, there are many different facets to it. One, I think, is that oftentimes music in the church is sung and planned merely because it feels good, it's something that people like, and that it will fill up this time. And so if there's anything new or anything of a little greater difficulty, oftentimes that stuff is dismissed because it's going to take too much time or it's going to take time to teach it. And so we do need to spend more time teaching, not only the difficult things, but also maybe going back and reteaching some of the things that are more familiar. Another aspect is helping to provide the time for church musicians. Rather than getting the hymns on Thursday or Friday or even Saturday night for Sunday morning, it would be helpful at least on Monday, if not even for a few months in advance, so that the church musicians can all plan for those services. You know, those kind of things. It also is helpful, I think, to provide church musicians with workshops like the one this weekend or other conferences, and then giving them the encouragement to attend these so that they can grow in their ability and their insight.
One of the things that concerns me the most about the direction of church music in general nowadays, Henry, is that, and I think this is probably more true, I think it's probably more true in some churches than others, but in many ways nowadays, as the production values of music in a lot of congregations increase, church musicianship is seen largely as the responsibility of professionals. The congregation in general then become either observers or they kind of sing along while the professionals do their job.
Right, and that kind of leads to a certain entertainment aspect of worship music that you know, always are kind of on the dividing line there, and trying to keep a balance. You don't want the choir to be performing something just to be performing something, but to proclaim the Word of God, to focus on Christ. And so, yes, that becomes a concern. It becomes a concern that many talented people oftentimes are overlooked because they don't have the ability or time to devote professional hours and time and so forth to it, but rather volunteer and do the best they can.
Something we've talked about many times, Henry, is the ongoing and really generation to generation, sometimes century to century, witness that church musicians provide beyond just this Sunday morning or you know, for a lifetime of service in the church, but often they leave a legacy for coming generations of Christians. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I know in my own life there have been choir directors that have had a great influence on me and whom I remember with great fondness because of the insight, the encouragement, and the way that they have been able to form a group of individual singers into a choir that presents one voice. And then there are those pastors and church musicians who have taken the time to teach their congregations with care and love and insight as to the Word of God that is there in the hymns, and will take the time to teach it and then to repeat those hymns so that they become part and parcel of our lifetime.
You talked at the beginning about one of the difficulties or some of the difficulties of being a church musician. How difficult is it to recruit members for a church choir nowadays, especially given the fact that all of us seem to have booked ourselves from Monday through Sunday pretty thoroughly?
Well, I think you've described the problem very well. It becomes a big challenge. Some have tried limiting choir rehearsals to just Sunday morning in between services or before service. That obviously limits to a great degree what can be done by the choir. But, working schedules, hobbies, extra jobs, other family responsibilities, all of those play into the factor of trying to recruit. And so church musicians become quite creative, or have to become quite creative in their recruitment as well as their planning for rehearsals as well as planning for what is sung on Sunday morning.
Finally then, Henry, tell us about this two-day event coming up on Friday and Saturday called Now the Preparation, Then the Proclamation.
Yes. This is the third workshop or conference that Concordia Publishing House has sponsored. The last one was 2 years ago. And what it is a chance for church musicians, pastors, educators, whether they be Lutheran grade school teachers or Sunday school teachers and so forth, to attend, to have the opportunity for 7 workshops geared for those various disciplines of music, preaching, and teaching, as well as 3 plenary sessions that will focus on, like the plenary, the first one is a plenary on psychology of change, and how do we as Christians, as leaders, how do we deal with that, and how do we help people through those changes? And some of that is related to the idea of a new hymnal. You know, how do we deal with that? So those are some of the aspects of that. And then on Friday night, there will be a hymn festival to which the whole community of St. Louis is invited. It's at 8 o'clock on Friday night at the Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary. And this will feature a choir made up of members of local church choirs, as well as a brass ensemble, percussion, other instruments, and a reading of God's Word and hymns. That some of the hymns will be from the new Lutheran hymnal called Lutheran Service Book, and give us a chance to experience some of those.
For more information on Now the Preparation, Then the Proclamation, it's a 2-day event this Friday and Saturday for musicians, pastors, and teachers on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Check out the website for Concordia Publishing House, www.cph.org, or call CPH at 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Henry Gehrke will be speaking, in addition to other issues, etc., regular guest, Dr. Reed Lessing, and Deaconess Pam Nielsen. It's called Now the Preparation, Then the Proclamation. The website address, www.cph.org, or the toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Henry Gehrke is director of the Concordia Seminary Chorus, and he's cantor at Reformation Lutheran Church in Afton. Henry, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Well, when we come back, we're going to spend an hour with Pastor Bill Swirla. Love spending time with Pastor Bill Swirla. He's always got something to say, which is kind of nice given the fact this is a radio program. We're going to be talking about classical Christian worship. He made a presentation recently called A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Liturgy. We'll get to that right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.